RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews A Cure for Wellness, now playing in area theaters.
Gore Verbinski's A Cure for Wellness is provocative and appealing for multiple reasons. However, its strength is its originality. Rare for early 2017, A Cure for Wellness is not a sequel. There is no part two after its title. I've never seen these characters before. And it's not even a remake of an older film. It's not even adapted from a novel. A refreshing, original script feels so rare nowadays, because it is becoming rare as Halley's Comet sightings. Risk-averse studios shy away from unknown quantities. Therefore, it is a shame such a creative, fresh idea and gorgeously put-together film stumbles in its execution. A Cure for Wellness contains an intriguing premise, a head-scratching mystery, but it is so long and repetitive, its virtues are replaced with pleas to any divine entity you can dream of for it to end already. Many Americans are unfamiliar with their tradition, but Europeans will recognize the situation. Global industry elite retreat to an exclusive spa to take the water and get the cure. Screenwriter Justin Haith says the disease is the relentless and callous ambition the modern world drives into human beings. The CEO of a gargantuan but morally flexible financial enterprise disappears into the Vollmer Institute's folds, sending a manifesto back to the boardroom about the dead end that is man's quest for superiority over other men. Read in voiceover in a dark blue and gray Wall Street atmosphere, the board launches a young, cutthroat up-and-comer to bring the CEO back to his senses, and more importantly, back to work. Lockhart, played by Dane DeHaan, will stab any person in the back if it means his ascension one ladder rung higher. Taking no time to enjoy the side benefits of his trek to the Alps, Lockhart spends his time on high-speed trains and in the back of town cars with the world's most striking vistas out the window, staring into computer screens and barking orders into phones. This exercise in the psychological thriller genre kicks off when Lockhart, a weasel who taught himself never to take no for an answer, runs into an immovable object, a spa nestled in a medieval castle with a long, tortured, and secret history. The CEO has no desire to come home, and even more alarming, none of the other 100 or so patients want to leave either. Too many people Lockhart talks to end their conversation with a take on the phrase, "But nobody ever leaves here." Following a startlingly realistic-looking car crash, Lockhart isn't going anywhere either, with his entire leg entombed in an immobilizing hardshell cast. The Institute's doctor, Dr. Vollmer, played by Jason Isaacs, recommends Lockhart use this downtime to his advantage and take the cure for a couple of days. Nodding in agreement on the outside, Lockhart inwardly decides to stay on to untangle the puzzle of why nobody ever leaves the spa, and odder still, why they appear to be getting sicker. Verbinski strikes a methodical and deliberate pace as Lockhart wanders corridors, peeks into off-limits rooms, and casually interrogates patients and staff. The most curious resident is Hannah, played by Mia Goth. Hannah is decades younger than the average patient, but is of an indeterminate age. I guess 18, but can be persuaded in either direction. Under the personal care of Dr. Vollmer, Hannah's presence is that of a ghost in the sanitarium, as she treads so lightly and dresses in light blues and grays, giving her an almost translucent appearance. Another lady, Victoria Watkins, played by Celia Imrie, turns out to be an amateur sleuth. She conveniently fills in Lockhart whenever they cross paths with backstory about the baron who used to own the place hundreds of years ago and strange experiments he conducted on the grounds. Two heavyweights when it comes to adept psychological thrillers are sound and design. The same high-pitched notes carry us along from the opening credits to every time we get another look at Hannah. The Academy Award-nominated production designer Eve Stewart creates a sterile environment at first look, but one that feels dirtier and more unclean the further Lockhart travels down the rabbit hole. Shot in southern Germany at the base of the Alps in Hohenzollern Castle, the setting may be the film's most valuable player, as it is an ideal locale for the worlds overworked and overstressed to undertake the process of purification, isolated from modernity. A Cure for Wellness is a cousin to Martin Scorsese's Shutter Island, in tone, and that feeling just underneath the surface that the audience cannot rely upon anything the camera chooses to show us. We do not know what is real. Are Lockhart's suspicions and gumshoe discoveries reliable? Or is Dr. Vollmer altruistically curing the wealthy of a disease of the soul they do not even realize they suffer from? These are all compelling and authentic themes to structure a story around, but Verbinski gives us far too much of a good thing. If A Cure for Wellness had the editor it deserves and a full half hour of fat was cut from the juicy middle, I would rave about the film from the rooftops. Unfortunately, the movie will test your endurance as you lose your patience with Verbinski, who presses the repeat button and languidly circles around the story rather than advancing it. That is why I give A Cure for Wellness 2.5 out of 4 stars.
A Cure for Wellness is rated R, now playing at Cobb Tyrone Luxury 10, Regal Park Place Stadium 16, AMC Sundial 20, and Cobb Countryside 12 Cinemas. RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell.com. RadioSaintPete.com.